Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Well, hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. I do want to start out today with a comment that I just received, so I thought I'd share that with you. It says, "Dear JBL, I only have a moment, but wanted to give a very brief but heartfelt thank you for the program, especially the current ones on Benghazi. Every KPCG program is so unbelievably helpful and important to me. I have to share that I don't find that I can fit in reading the books at this time or listening to every single JBL program, but I am thankful and inspired whenever I can listen either live or on playback. I very much appreciate the tidbits I was able to glean about Ben Franklin, Shakespeare, and English history, as well as the opportunity to just listen on the air." And she says, she goes on to say, "This Benghazi program seems so perfect. I've only caught pieces, but intend to go back and listen to them all. The world needs all kinds of truth so badly. Why politics and media seem to have a special way of remaining in the dark. Thank you for your work, and surely thank you to all the hosts on KPCG. And so she does not only appreciate JBL, but she does appreciate all the many programs we now have on KPCG. So we do appreciate that. And listeners, if you have more comments like that, surely send them in. We really do appreciate those comments, and we appreciate being able to read them to all of our listeners on the radio. Well, today we are going to begin discussing books from a new book series on JBL. When I was in England taping the radio programs for the Shakespeare series, I thought to myself, I said, "Self, why not do a series of programs on books from different countries that, of course, are written in English or maybe have been translated into English?" And so I talked this idea over with some of our producers, also talked to a few local listeners, and all agreed they thought it was a great idea. So this new book series, I think I'm going to title it something like Around the World with Books. And so if you have any ideas on that, you can send me comments if you think we could title it something different. But essentially what I want to do is I want to invite all of you to, during these winter months, to just buy some of these books. If you're a little bit chilly because of the winter weather or the snow or whatever is happening in your neck of the woods, let's just get into the book. And I've chosen two books to begin the series. Of course, the first one is A Whole Life by Robert Seethaler, and we're going to begin discussing that today. Now, Robert is an Austrian-born author, and he's living right now in Berlin, Germany. But our second book, H is for Hawk by Helen MacDonald. Now, Miss MacDonald, I should say, not Mrs., Miss MacDonald is from the United Kingdom, and her book is a personal diary of her training a goosehawk. Now, I don't know much about goosehawks, but I understand that they are probably one of the most dangerous birds to train in falconry. So this book is about falconry, so all you animal lovers that are interested in training a wild animal or a wild creature, I think you're going to enjoy this journey into falconry, and of course there's a lot more in this book. So we're going to begin discussing A Whole Life today. We'll be spending about 3 weeks with this book, and so we'll begin discussing H is for Hawk around late January, mid to late January. So now I will be announcing other books in this series on Twitter and Facebook. And so I think there's probably some in there that that you'll appreciate. And then I'm actually in the process of reviewing a few books, and I always like to review them before I recommend them. And so I'm in the process. And so I think you might be really excited about the series that we're going to have here. So it's a good way to spend your winter. So then next spring, early summer, we'll begin a new series of books. Again, this is kind of recommended by my producer, and so we'll talk about that then. But I think it's going to be something about the classics, maybe a summer of classics, and we'll probably focus on more on teens or those are young teens at heart kind of books. But there will be classics. So if you look at this book, A Whole Life, it is really kind of a fascinating book, and I do use it in my sophomore English language literature class here at Herbert W. Armstrong College. And this year was the first year we used this book. And I was really drawn to this book for several reasons, and I'll explain those reasons as we go. But I just want you to realize that Robert C. Thaler was born in Vienna in 1966, so I'm just a little bit older than he is. And he does spend most of his time in writing, but maybe some of you international listeners may actually be aware of him. He's also a European character actor, so he's probably appeared in some of the films that you've seen. Now, this book was a really big bestseller in Germany when it first came out in 2014, and it sold over 100,000 copies, if I'm remembering my facts straight. Now, this book was also translated into the English by Charlotte Collins, and her translation, I understand, is just superb. Now, I don't know German, so I can't compare, let's say, the German with the English, but I do know that both Charlotte Collins and Robert were nominated for the Booker Man Prize in England because of this book, and so they did not win the prize, but they were on the very short list, and I think they came in fourth for the prize. And so it is, it's really a very well-written book. It's a very interesting book, and I think it has a lot of things in it. It isn't necessarily a book for like young teens, although I think certainly high school students could get a lot out of it if they have some good discussions with maybe some older people. I know that when I taught it here, even for the sophomore English class, I know there are some concepts in the book that I think are a little bit difficult to understand unless you've lived a little bit longer. And so we'll talk about that. One thing with this book, we're going to bring back the 60-plus panel. I'm really excited about that. We now have a new member of the 60-plus panel, and Mr. Daryl Hope will be joining my wife and I on the 60-plus panel from here on out, and we're very excited to have him here, and we'll be introducing him next week. But just to be nominated for the Booker Man Prize does say a lot about the book. Now, one of the reasons why I like it so much, it is interesting. The book itself is only 150 pages long, and so really, it's not a big novel. So anybody out there that really hates reading big novels, and again, in our sophomore English language literature class, we just finished A Tale of Two Cities. So if anybody in the past has had to read A Tale of Two Cities, you know that is a long, 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 long book. And so, but with the C. Thaler book, it's really only 150 pages. And it reminds me in many ways of Hemingway's Old Man and the Sea. I think actually Hemingway's Old Man and the Sea was only 147 pages. So he really reduced that book down. I also understand that Hemingway edited The Old Man and the Sea about 200 times. He tried to get it pared down and pared down and pared down. But this C. Thaler book it's really very interesting. And actually, the New York Times has a great article on the book if you want to get on the internet and find it. And it's just the title of this New York Times article is Robert C. Thaler talks about his new book, Writing and Acting. And so the way they refer to this book is they call it Heroic Saga in Miniature. And like I said, the book is only 150 pages. And it really is an incredible book. It's very plain in its writing, but it's also very beautiful in its description. It's one of those unique books. I really look at this book much like Hemingway's Old Man and the Sea. Now, I think that book was 147 pages, and so even Hemingway, we know from history, edited that book about 200 times to get it pared down and pared down to pared down to what he wanted. And so I don't know if Robert Seethaler did the same thing, but he tells this wonderful story in only 150 pages. One of the things I always recommend to people that do want to read it is it has no chapter breaks in it. And so once you start reading it, you really can't put it down. So you need to allow yourself a couple hours, and I think you can actually probably finish the book in 3 hours, depending on how fast you can read. But the book is very plain spoken. And if you look at the main character, and his name is Andreas, and I think it's Egger. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that. Daryl Hope, who is coming in on the 60-plus panel, does speak German. And in fact, he is going to actually buy the German version of the book and maybe try and read it before he even comes on. And so he'll be able to correct my German. I do not know German, have never taken a German class. So we'll just have to excuse my maybe mispronunciation of his name. But Andreas is just a very plain laborer, and he lives in the beautiful Australian Alps. And so his descriptions of the mountains and his description of how the mountains affect him, his description of the trees and the snow and all these scenes that he lives with and grows up with, it really is like this beautiful pastoral book that just kind of gives you a peace of mind just when you're reading it. Now, there's a lot of interesting things in the book, and I know some of the young people that have read it really didn't like the book because they feel the book is mostly about death. And but if you understand the title and where he's going with the title, it is a whole life. And one of the things that I think it's easier for those of us who are a little bit older is that we've accepted the fact that death is a part of life. And, human beings don't live forever. And I think youth really does have that kind of thinking in their mind that they're just going to live forever. Well, we know that human beings don't live forever. Human beings die. Now, there's obviously different times for everybody. But one of the big questions I think that everybody always wonders about authors, and this New York Times article is really a interview with him. It's been translated into the English. And here's one of the questions that one of the authors, or one of the writers from New York Times asks the author. He says to Seethaler, he says, "Your new novella, Whole Life, is also set in the mountains. In this case, the Austrian Alps. Was the village and the landscape based on places that you knew firsthand?" And so here he was born in Vienna. And he obviously grew up around the Alps. And I've always tried to work at telling my students that authors invariably will always write something that they know most about. And, that they'll base their stories on what they've seen and what they've heard and what they know. And here was Seethaler's answer, and I thought it was just typical of good writers. He says, "I invented all the places in the book and all the place names. In a way, they're mythical places. This life, or something very like it, could have been lived anywhere at any time, but of course, I do have memories or emotional memories of my childhood experiences in the mountains. The wonderful silence of the snow, also the dangers of the mountains themselves. You don't forget things like that. Nature can often be enjoyed, but sometimes you have to endure it too. It can fill you with dread. There's more to it than just its beauty. It's also inconceivable and frightening." And I think that's a really good way to sum up the book. To me, it's a very exciting book, and it really does have maybe a lot of opposites in it. There are some very sweet times in the book, and there are some very bitter times in the book. And but it does really portray a whole life. Now let's talk a little bit, let's say, about this character Andreas Egger, I guess, or Edger, I guess. Maybe it's Edgar is probably the better way to say it. But if you look at this character now, I think there are so many people, if they're going to read a book, they have to read something very, very exciting, or it has to either be, today it either has to be a Star Wars type book, or it has to be a murder mystery, or it has to be, something, some kind of a thriller, like a spy thriller. But, a whole life isn't really like that. It's really quite different, but it's very deep. And this character, Andreas, he's really kind of a solemn man of few words. But really, he can really be quite humorous and quite funny. He's also very deep in his feelings, but he does have a lot of very complex feelings that maybe it's hard for all of us to express sometimes. But he is able to communicate or articulate what he believes, in kind of unique ways. But one of the things about him is he really does act. He does believe in action, and he's right there when someone needs to take action. He's right there to take action. And actually, the very opening, the scene of the book is very funny. It's kind of tragic and very funny. And one of the older members of his community is dying, and they live way up in the mountains. And he's trying to get this man down to the village and down to the hospital. And he tries to he puts him on his back and he tries to carry him down the mountain. And essentially what happens is this man is not happy with the way he's carrying him. He's not happy with what he does. And, they have this really funny discussion. He says, look, I'm just trying to help you. And then essentially what happens, this guy breaks free of him and runs off into the wilderness. And obviously then he dies in the wilderness. And so it's really a very funny scene. But Andreas is the one that took the action to take him down to the village. So he's really a very, very interesting character. He's the leading character, and the story is really set over a period of time, so you can really see how Andreas responds to technology. You can see how Andreas responds to many things. The book begins right before World War II. He goes through the war. He has all these experiences there. Then you can see technology moving into the Alps. Then the book even talks about what happens when radio and TV come into the Alps. And so you can see how society has affected his environment. And it really he really gives some really wise and very wise comments that are just full of wisdom to people that are getting into all this technology. But even with the advance of technology, he notices that they want to escape into the wildness of the Alps. So it is really quite interesting that way. But one of the things that we see, and I think this is why the New York Times called the book such an heroic book, is we see Andreas go through some very warm experiences. We see him fall in love. It's kind of like a love story in many ways, and it's very touching. It's very tender. We can see how much he loves, the people in his village and how he'll work to take care of them. You can see how much he loves nature. But then we also see Andreas go through some really horrible times, some really difficult trials. And I don't want to give those away just right yet. But he really does struggle at times. But, by the end of his life, he's still very happy. He's still very content. And in many ways, it's a book that really speaks to our time, as we have so many gadgets, we have so many electronic things, we have so much progress and so much advance in our society, and yet people just seem miserable. You know, they don't have this solitude or this peaceful, state of mind. They're stirred up and they're stressed out, and, you know, they can't handle the problems of life. And if one trial hits and another trial hits and another trial hits, they just fall apart. Well, we don't see Andreas do that. He's very strong and stays strong until the day he dies. And so there's a lot here in this book about surviving and adapting, and about how you can still have a very joyful life, but really enjoy the little things. You don't have to have, the best sports car. You don't have to have a speedboat. You know, you don't have to have a second home, in some resort to be happy. And so that's why I really, really think you're going to get a lot out of reading this book. Well, I think that's about it for today. And I know you'll look forward to our next several programs. We're going to be bringing the 60-plus panel back. And Daryl Hope, who has actually lived in Germany, he's studied in Germany. He spent 3 summers there studying the German language. He's going to be able to give us some real insights into why this book was so popular with the German people. So you can follow JBL on Twitter at JBLiterature1 or on Facebook at facebook.com/justthebestliterature. And so until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.